Chapter 3.
As hangar bays went, this one looked like a decades-old disaster zone. The main doors were jammed about halfway open, leaving the entire facility exposed to the dark vacuum of space. The decks were slowly revolving around the shadow as the station rotated on its axis, and they were crammed with starcraft from a dozen different eras and classes, all facing the open exit for a quick departure. Hand tools lay scattered across hull tops. Tank dollies were propped against landing struts. Charging carts rested beneath retracted access panels. A film of pale dust covered everything, so thick on the older craft that it was sometimes difficult to determine the hull color. None of the vessels showed attack damage, but all those tools suggested that they had needed some manner of repair, and many crews had not even bothered to raise the boarding ramp before abandoning their work. As his son struggled to accommodate the station's rate of rotation, Luke extended his force awareness toward the middle of the facility. On the journey in, he had sensed a concentration of life energy in the central sphere, a hazy cloud too large and diluted to be a single being, with no discernible focuses to suggest individual presences. It was still there, an area of heaviness and warmth in the faint fog of force energy that permeated this part of the maw. Luke could tell by the way it began to writhe up inside him that it had not only been monitoring their arrival, it had been awaiting them. Ben swung the shadow around to face the hangar exit, then put down, somewhat heavily, between an old Theed-speed galaxy runner and a swoop-sized needle ship with a hatch about the size of a human hand. They completed the shutdown routine quickly, clicked out of their crash webbing, and went aft. Instead of following Luke to the suit locker, however, Ben stopped at the engineering station and began to call up system reports. "Let's leave repairs for later," Luke said. He pulled a light combat-rated vac suit from the locker and tossed it to Ben, then took another for himself. "I want to have a look around first." Ben caught the suit with no outward sign of anxiety, but the sudden ripple in his force aura was hard to miss. He was afraid of the strange presence monitoring them from the station center, and Luke wished he understood why. The snaky feel of its force touch certainly suggested the tentacle that had touched his son at shelter. But what exactly had the thing done that had continued to haunt Ben more than a decade later? "Ben, it'll be okay." Luke opened his vac suit and began to push his feet into the legs. "If you're remembering something else about your time at shelter, it would be better to share."
"Dad, I'm not trying to avoid anything out there," Ben said. "But we've already been attacked once, and the shadow took some bad hits. It's just sound tactics to get things ready in case we need to leave in a hurry."
It was hard to know whether Ben was unaware of how his fear was controlling him or just allowing it to interfere with his judgment, but it really didn't matter. The time was fast approaching when the young man had to face his demons or surrender to them. And as much as Luke wished it otherwise, the choice was one that no father could make for his son. Continuing to don his vac suit, Luke peered out the viewport and scowled at the fleet of abandoned vessels.
"Take a look outside, then tell me again about sound tactics."
Ben frowned and studied the equipment-strewn hangar outside, then slowly flushed with embarrassment.
"Yeah, I see," he said, opening his vac suit. "We aren't gonna have time to finish our repairs."
"Probably not," Luke agreed. "A Jedi needs to be observant, and being observant means..."
"Thinking about what you see,"
Ben finished, quoting one of Cam Solisar's favorite sayings.
"I should have asked myself why everyone was leaving their tools lying around. It could be that something has been drawing or taking the ship crews away, and it doesn't look like anyone makes it back here to finish their repairs."
"Which means..."
Ben peered out the viewport for a long time, obviously searching for some missed detail that would explain what was luring the crews away from their vessels, and why no one was returning. Finally, he turned back to Luke, shaking his head.
"I don't know," he admitted. "All that occurs to me is that we shouldn't make the same mistake everyone else did."
Luke smiled broadly.
"Congratulations. That's exactly what it means."
Ben looked more puzzled than before.
"The trouble with sound tactics is that they make you predictable," Luke explained. "Jedi shouldn't be predictable."
Ben's eyes finally lit in understanding.
"Got it," he said. From now on, we eat when I'm hungry.
Luke laughed, glad to see that Ben was relaxed enough to joke. I don't think we have the supplies for that. He pulled their helmets from the suit locker. Space yachts don't come with that much cargo capacity. They sealed their suits and exited through the airlock into about a quarter standard gravity. Luke immediately began to feel a bit dizzy. Like Centerpoint Station, this habitat lacked true artificial gravity. Instead, it created an imperfect imitation by rotating on its axis, a method that wreaked havoc on the delicate inner ear of many bipedal species. Once the Shadow's outer hatch had closed, Luke secured the hidden lock inside its framework by triggering a latch that could only be accessed with the Force. Meanwhile, Ben gathered some equipment from nearby ships, and they proceeded to camouflage the Shadow together. Ben tossed some hand tools onto an engine mount, and Luke leaned a torch kit against a landing strut. Finally, they used the Force to stir up a cloud of dust that would eventually drift back onto the Shadow, leaving it covered in the same gray blanket as the surrounding vessels.